Blog Talk Radio.
Intense investigatory archaeology studies. A show that is designed to get you to travel back in time with us. to look around doing critical analysis and our assessment and come to some firm conclusion as to the who, what, when, where, and or how, as to how you should comport in your relationship with the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and or each other, and certainly with other nations. It seems that for some of us, we're totally in the dark about everything. Yes, you do need devotion. But before we get started, I must make a confession. I made a mistake yesterday. I didn't tell you I was perfect. I never have. We skipped over chapter 12 of Shemot. Tonight we'll be going back, reversing our course, going back to chapter 12, then skipping over tomorrow, chapter 13, and right on to 14. And before we get started in these studies, I try to be cognizant of everything, especially in 2020. It seems that Joe Biden picks some more of the same regurgitated nonsense, more of the same people. I'm not the least bit impressed of progression that he says that he has, and it's more the same to me. But what I would like to see, if there's any change in tempo, I would like to see who is FBI, CIA. I'd like to see those picks in the Attorney General. Then that would give me some idea where he's coming from. And it should give you some ideas, too. And also, I like to make mention, a lot of people are flying about this holiday. And they're flying about Verona in their bags. And I've heard people say, well, I got to go home. And I guess you got to take Rona with you, don't you? Well, I'm feeling sad by myself. Well, you came here by yourself. You're going to leave by yourself. Man up, woman up. Stop crying. And as far as this holiday is concerning, am I going to celebrate it? Oh, hell no. Excuse my French. For what? Why should I celebrate any holiday that takes advantage of another nation, that stole from another nation, killed and abused another nation, eradicated them? Then go out, let's celebrate. We had a good time. Come on now, boys. Come on, girls. Let's celebrate. Why should I celebrate a tradition? It's not based upon righteousness and justice. Just because. And why should you? Well, before we get started in our studies, again, let me bring my friend and brother on from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yansu Fari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
The way you put that, man, that turkey ain't going to taste so good, man.
Hey, I'm just keeping it real, Cartrell. I'm just keeping it real. Hey, Cartrell, did you notice that Trump pardoned Corn and Cobb? I would say to him, pardon Corn and Cobb. He need to send Corn and Cobb to a whole lot of folks in this community. They're starving like Marvin. They're standing in food lines because of COVID-19, and he pardoned two turkeys. I'm pretty sure a whole lot of folk would have begged to differ with him pardoning them two turkeys. Okay? Okay. Go ahead, Cartrell.
That's what their name was, Corn and Cobb, the two turkeys.
Yeah.
So they pardoned every year.
Yeah, corn and cob.
So think about it. There's 330 million Americans. Every one of them had a turkey dinner. That's a lot of turkeys.
They could have a whole lot to save over, too, to eat later.
And if you only wait once a year to give the Most High thanks, I guess the rest of the year you're stressing out. Because that's a long time to wait to give thanks to the Most High. And what are you giving them thanks for? That they lowering the prices on cars and TVs and washing machines and bikes and stuff you could buy on a Black Friday? That's what you're celebrating?
I guess so, Cartrell. I think that's coming up next to Black Friday. I wonder why they named it Black Friday, Cartrell.
That's some research. It probably has to do something with slavery.
You can bet your bottom dollar on that one, Cartrell. Bet your bottom dollar on it.
And you ever notice how people bug out on Black Friday?
Man, come on, Cartrell. I've seen them run over a 6'5", 300-pound man and kill him. Trying to get in there. And didn't think two ways. I'm getting a little Johnny something. I'm getting a little Sally something. But I'm going to kill this guy just to get it.
Step right over him, right? Crushed him, stepped
on,
over
bro.
Didn't help him.
No. And fighting.
So it's mind control.
Yeah, it's mind control, bro. And fighting and carrying on, that's the plum food, Cartrell. A plum food.
But they know how to control the population.
They certainly do, Cartrell. They certainly do.
In more ways than one.
More ways than one. More ways than one.
But we worry about what they do, what they strategize, what their political science is. What we going to do? We always talking about what they going to do, what they doing, what we doing. That's the key question. Are we preparing for anything?
Well, Cartrell, don't look like we prepared for too much, because we be in the following traditions. But look here.
It's like people not paying attention. So
right.
About a quarter of a million people died since what, March? That's a lot of
right.
people. And death
and
is all around us. People dying like flies.
And they're busy.
General.
Yeah. And they're busy, Cartrell, focusing on a traditional holiday. They
uh-huh.
And I hear people at the airport. I got to get home. I got to get home. You know, come on, man. And folks don't even like each other getting home. But it's tradition. That
and then you
got
to come back to work Monday.
Exactly. That's not based in justice and righteousness. And Cartrell, and that's why on the Red Cross and listeners, that's why I always, on holidays, I always do those shifts for them. Because those days, people be saying, happy Thanksgiving. I said, it's just another day to me. It don't mean nothing to me. People be crazy. They be thinking I'm mad. I said, no, you're not celebrating. I said, no, I don't celebrate. That's just another day to me. It don't mean anything to me, if you want me to go into detail. But right now, it's not the appropriate time. If I'm shopping, someone says, hey, happy Thanksgiving. I said, well, you don't have to be safe yourself, okay? Have a nice day. I don't celebrate. It's just another day to me. That's what I always tell them.
And do you think people are really thankful for what they've been given?
No, bro. Come on. They don't even know how to treat each other. How are you thankful for what you give? You need to know how to treat each other. Being thankful for what you've gotten from the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, should be reflective upon you. How you treat people. How you help people.
And it starts with your family. The fact
exactly.
that you have life, you got to thank Yah for giving you a mother and father, because you wouldn't be here without them.
Exactly. Exactly.
How many
Cartrell, I read about this young fellow. I think he was 21. I don't know if it was in Memphis or not. And I'm going to tell you how sick we are. The stepfather, he came in the house, 21 years old, cussing and fussing the can on with the mama. Mama said she decided to go in the bedroom and lock the door. And he goes to the door. Now, this story don't even sound right. There's some chicanery going on here. So he goes knocking on the bedroom door where the mother and the stepfather in the house, in the bedroom. The stepfather answers the door. The young fella has a gun. Now, in mama house, he argued about mama food, where the so-and-so food at, like he the man of the house. So the stepfather comes, and they end up tussling over a gun, and he ends up inadvertently killing the stepfather. I don't know what kind of, that don't even sound right. I don't know if the mother had anything to do with it. It was a setup. But it just don't sound right. And you know, it's just because the mother, the way she said it, is if she was trying to leave a leeway for the son to get out of the situation. As if, you know, it was just something happened. You know, how has something happened, Cartrell? You come home and living in your mama house. your stepdad house. You cussing and fussing like that's your wife. And the mama go in the room and you and the stepfather, because you bamming on the bedroom door like you running something. And the stepfather, man, what's going on with you? And he has a gun on him. How thankful can these people be, Cartrell? That's what I want to know. You ought to be thankful staying in your mama's house in the first place. And instead of trying to run something in your mama's house, you know, man, these folks something else, Cartrell.
And gonna be threatening her with a gun and her husband with a gun, like the enemies.
Yeah. But that was his own mother.
Yeah.
I guess his mother didn't save him a plate. I don't know. It didn't make no sense to me. You 21, you a grown man. Okay? Y'all be happy mama let you stay up in the first place. Okay? You bamming on her door like you the man of the house. Yeah, that man gonna come out and say, man, what's wrong with you? And he's strapped with a gun.
Yeah.
So that's
not an isolated situation, because I know a situation right here where I live. My wife's sister, her son, he's tearing up the cabinets and throwing plates and dishes in his mother's house. This dude is 30-something years old.
Are you kidding me, man?
Nah. Got his girlfriend up in there telling his mother what to do, cursing his mother out. I'm like, that's not good karma. You don't got respect for your mother. You ain't got honor for your mother. Your life is going to be short. And you giving your mother problems at 30-something years old? She should have been moved a long time ago. I don't know why she tolerates him. But my mother moved out when I was 17, much less 36, 35. You're still up in your mother's crib.
Yeah, and the mother shouldn't be putting up with that nonsense.
Not at all.
I look at my mother's 80-something years old. I'm 60-something. Let me go in and cuss my mama. She can't halfway walk, but she'll try to crawl, slide, or something to get at me, okay? And one thing, Cartier, I wouldn't do that anyway. Now, I don't know what's wrong with these folks. You know what I mean?
No ethics, no morals, no manners.
None whatsoever, Cartier. Yeah.
Ethics, morals, and manners.
And you can't build a nation without everybody on board, Cartier. And we're going to find that out as soon as we get into this study, that everybody played a part. Everybody must play a part in a constructive and positive manner. And we're going to find this right off. Okay, turn to chapter 12 of Shemot. Thank you, Katria, for your commentary. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. Okay, let me put my reading speckles on. And may the Most High bless you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. You know what, Cartrell? I'm going to say this before we get started. The Most High has allowed me to be at this since 2013. And here's what I've seen people come and go on this show. And I'm thankful that you have you're committed to Yah. That being said, if I got into this because of people, I wouldn't be in it. Because people come and go. And that's all I want to say about that. I didn't get into it for people. I'm not with Yah, and I know this from our ancient forefathers, Isaac, Yaqub, and Jacob. Okay, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. They wasn't with the Most High because of what other people feared the thought. They were with the Most High because they loved him and respected him and trusted him. And I suspect, Cartrell, that's why you have lasted a long time. You have the right motive. If you don't have the right motive, you don't last long. You have to have the right motive. Don't get into it because you like Yom Suf. Yom Suf ain't nothing. You get into this because you love the Most High. And he has all the answers for you, and that's what you realize, and that's what you're seeking. And Yom Suf's of the world, they come and go. But the Most High don't go anywhere. And so our ancient forefathers knew this. That's what we're trying to get you to get grounded in. Because people are going to come and go. It's just the way it is. But love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you ain't going nowhere. You're going to stay right with this nation. And you're going to try to make it work. Let's find out about the nation. The Elohim said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Mizraim, this month shall mark for you the beginning of the months your first year, your first month. It should be the first of the months of the year for you. And I want you to speak to let everybody, don't leave nobody out. Speak to the whole community of Israel and say that on the 10th of this month, the first month, each of them shall take a lamb to a family, a lamb to a household. But if the household is too small for a lamb, let him share one with a neighbor who dwells nearby in proportion to the number of persons. You shall contribute for the lamb according to what each household will eat. If you ain't got it like that, hook up with somebody else ain't got it like that. Y'all bring it together and make it work. Together, unity. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a yearling specifically, a yearling male. You should take it from the sheep or from the goats, either one. You should keep watch over it until the 14th day of this month. And all the assembled congregation of the Israelites shall slaughter it at twilight, specific time. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of their house and the lintels over the top in which they are to eat. They shall eat the flesh that same night. They shall eat it specifically. They shall roast it over the fire with unleavened bread without yeast and with bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or cooked in any way with water. You have to roast it. But roast it head, legs, and entrails over the fire. You should not leave any of it over until the morning. If any of it is left until morning, you should get rid of it. Burn it specifically. This is how you should eat it. You should be ready. Your loins girded, ready to go. Your sandals on your feet and your staffs in your hand. You should eat it hurriedly. It is Passover offering to the Elohim. Specifications.
So how many men are supposed to bring a lamb?
Now, say it again, Cottrell.
How many men are supposed to bring a lamb?
Each family.
It says every man.
Well, each family. Well, the head of that family. Let me see. Let's go back up.
A lamb for a household.
Yeah, right. For a household. The male, the head of the household. But if you ain't got it like that, you go to the other household with the head of the household there, and you make contribution, and you buy a lamb together and contribute for the lamb according to what each household will eat. If you ain't got it like that. Okay? So that means Cartrell can't bring mine, and I can't bring his. Now, if I ain't got it like that, I can contribute with Cartrell to purchase the lamb according to what I eat, okay? All right. Now, that don't mean everybody, 500 people in the community.
Are we talking about a lamb that's only 1 year old? So how big can that lamb be?
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah, I gave you a specification, Cartrell. Every household, every head of the household, okay? Every male. And if he ain't got it like that, he go to one of his neighbors. Hey, man, I ain't got it like that, dog. Look at, I got two or three folks in my family. I ain't got it like that. How many you got in yours? I got eight. Well, look at, can we contribute some to the lamb and we get a lamb together? You know, and my folks just going to eat what we eat. We ain't going to eat no more. Okay, all right. See, that's how you do it. But every household is obligated. Each household is obligated to do this. Not a community. Yeah.
The weight fell on the men who were head of that household.
Exactly.
They had women head of the household. They had men in the household.
Exactly. So that would be, if your husband was dead, that would be your firstborn male child would be the head of the household. See, but we're under this so-called European domination of universal right, race supremacy. Hell, everybody run the house. That's why we talked about, right, what Cartrell and I was talking about. Because everybody don't know their place, and they totally out of place. See, if we were back in Atlanta, everybody would know their place, and then everybody would have expectation to seed in that spot. Okay? That's part of the problem, too, Cartrell. Let us continue.
But that's not to show chauvinism, because we started out this story with Moses' mother and Moses' sister and the midwives. They took initiatives that helped save the nation. So even though the men were head of the household, these men listened to their women. They listened to their wives.
Yeah, they should. But look here. If you're conceding to the point of feminism in this country, I can understand what these feminists are talking about with their males, white men. I can understand that. But that does not apply to us, although we try to jump into it. Feminism has never worked for our women. Never will, never supposed to be. So our women didn't even need that anyway. We didn't have nothing anyway. What they going to be feminist about? Well, we ain't got nothing anyway to be feminist about. Okay? And that being said, going back to the land, it's just like a bird in a tree. And a female bird doing some certain thing, and a male bird doing some certain thing, and the female said, you being male chauvinist bird. I'm sitting on this egg all day. What's wrong with you? And I don't see that. See, animals got sense. That female bird ain't worried about what that male bird doing, because he's doing what he do. And she need to be worried about doing what she do instead of trying to be a feminist bird, okay? And that's part of our problem. We bought into all this nonsense, hook, line, and sinker. And because our women don't know their spot, we don't know our spot, and we're totally in confusion, Cartrell, unfortunately. And like I said, our way of life is not to abuse, dominate, and humiliate, and control, and hit our women. Our women knew their spot. They had equal standing in the family. They just knew they heard certain things they did. It wasn't no reflection on them to see the brother doing what they're doing. And it wasn't no reflection on the brother seeing the sister doing what they're doing. Everybody had a spot to do. But now ain't nobody got no spot. Everybody's taking everybody's spot. And it's total confusion, Cartrell. Total confusion.
It's called Willie Lynch. They programmed us to have different roles in the house. So they took the strong male out the house, right, and put the female in charge. But if we look at the Lion Kingdom, we see that the males protect the territory while the females protect the children and feed the children. And with that bird that's sitting on that egg, that male that's flying out there, he's bringing that bird that's sitting on that egg food, because she can't go out and get food. That's how they work. As a matter of fact, the male penguin, he's the one that sits on the egg while the female go out and brings him food. But like you said, they got more sense than us, because they cooperate with each other for the sake of their young.
Exactly. Well, as you said, Willie Lynch, Cartrell, we done bought into the big lie, hook, line, and sinker. And as a matter of fact, they let us lead their parades and everything. Some of our sisters are leading the feminist parade. Well, we don't have much to offer or much to have anyway. They leading the parades and everything, Cartrell. And we're
leading all part and parcel of the universal white racist supremacist system, to keep us in check, to break up our families, to break up our households, to empower our women, and to demasculate our men and throw them in prison.
Parades too, Cartrell. They got them with rainbows on. They got them with pretty feathers on and tights on and switching and swatching and got the other fellows watching. Yes, they do, Cartrell. They let them lead parades too. That's called universal white race spread. You can't have no family. You can't have no community. You can't run no bank. You can't run the economy. You can't do anything, but we'll let you have something. We're going to let you just be gay and happy. That ain't what we asked you for, but that's what we're going to give you. You better take it and keep switching. Come on, Cartrell. That's what they do.
I mean, the only time we're going to put y'all first is when it comes time when there's a pandemic and we need to test dummies for the vaccine.
Well, Cartrell, you know, just like you say, a dummy can teach you something sometime. Okay, let's continue on. He said, and the whole nation is supposed to have been ready. The loins should be girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is a Passover offering to the Elohim for that night.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because Pharaoh's hard-headed. Keep changing his mind.
So he's been to put the hammer. He's been to send them headbusters out.
Yep.
And he says, for that night, I will go through the land of Mizraim and strike down every firstborn in the land of Mizraim, both man and beast. I will mete out punishment to all the gods of Mizraim. Now, I'm going to show all these gods who God. I am the Elohim. And the blood of the houses where you are staying shall be a sign for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over. That's why it's called Passover. I will pass over you so that no plague will destroy you when I strike the land of the Mizraim. You better have the Passover sign on you now. You know, to this day shall be to you one of remembrance. That's why I set it up. Observation. You should celebrate it as a festival to the Elohim throughout the ages. You should celebrate it as an institution for all time, not sometime, not part time, not half time, in your land, all times. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven, yeast, from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread that is raised by yeast, from the first day to the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel. I'm going to cut you off. You should celebrate a sacred occasion on the first day. A sacred occasion on the seventh day. No work at all be done on them. None of them days. Only what every person is to eat, that alone may be prepared for you. Only what you got to eat. You can prepare it. You should observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For on this very day, I bought your ranks out of the land of Mizraim. You should observe this day throughout the ages as an institution for all time. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. No leaven means no bread with yeast, be found in your houses for 7 days. You can't even have it in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, bread raised with yeast, that person shall be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a citizen of the country, meaning in the country. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your settlements. You shall eat unleavened bread for those 7 days.
So he shows control of the land when he tells you whether he is a stranger where or a native of the land. That's not in somebody else's land, because we're not native to this land. It's in our own land. Strangers come to visit and stay with us in our land.
Right. When other nations
can't eat leaven, while we're not eating leaven.
Right. They got to do the same thing we do. They got to get with it. Okay?
So one other point is that there are days end in the evening, whereas the way they count time here, the day begins at what, 12 midnight?
No, I was in sunset, evening time.
No, from sunset to sunset, evening to evening.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Our time starts from sunset to sunset.
Yeah.
Not in daytime.
No sunrise, huh?
Yeah. You're right, Gautreaux. You're right.
Yeah, so the way we count the time was different from the way we count time now.
Exactly.
So right now, this would be Wednesday. This is Wednesday night right now.
Right. It would be Wednesday night.
Instead of Tuesday. They say Tuesday night, but it's really Wednesday night.
According to our time slot.
Right.
Right.
Because we start with the evening and then was the day, because that's how it started.
And see, y'all need this, and I'm glad Cartrell said that, because y'all need this in your mind, because you need to know all this. You need to know how we measure time, not according to the Gregorian calendar or any other calendar, to our land's calendar. We set time entirely different. And it's going to play a vital part in our nation. So keep that in mind as Cartrell mentioned it to you. That's important. Go ahead, Cartrell. Sorry for cutting you off.
Oh, well, that's basically it. When the Most High created the sun and the moon, He started the days with evening, from evening unto evening. The evening is the beginning of the next day. So
exactly.
He says, in the first month on the 14th day at evening. So that's the beginning of the start of what we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
You shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. So you see,
right,
evening to evening, right?
Yeah, we'd be in Wednesday. If we were not on land, we'd be in Wednesday now.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't be called Wednesday any day. Anyway,
right,
it wouldn't be all these Roman and Greek names. It would be a different name entirely. So keep that in mind during your studies also. It's going to play a vital part in your studies too, okay? Keep all this stuff. Everything is important, okay?
Yes, it would be the evening of the fourth day.
Exactly.
That would be Wednesday, the evening of the fourth day.
Exactly. All right. And here's the important part. Mose didn't summon the young folks or the women. Mose summoned all, not some of them, not part of them, not half of them. Mose summoned all the elders. See, that's why when you take eldership out of our community, as we should have it, there's no control. Contrary, I've mentioned it in previous studies, where they had taken the old heads, elephants out of the refuge. And the young elephants, they were just running around all rogue. They were fighting rhinoceros. They were trying to have sex with rhinoceros. They didn't know what was up. So they said, oh, man, we need the OG in here. Because these young fools, they attacking rhinoceros. They lost their mind. Somewhat similar in nature to what we're going to now. So they decided to put an old head back in with the young bucks. He didn't have to do nothing, because when they start running the attack, ran out, he run up to them. They bowed down. Oh, what's up? Mm-mm. Tell him what we do. Come on here. And so they learned the rules by listening to the old head. See, that's why we got a lot of problems in our community now. A stripping and taking away the authority of the elders in the community. They killed us as a nation. Elders and elders need to be reinstitutionalized, because when you don't have elders and elders in charge, you got problems, as you can see in our communities. And so getting back to the story.
But let me just chime in there. That's an important point.
Take your time. Go ahead, bro.
Because that protocol is broken. Like you say, we could see how the salvation of the nation started with the elders. And Moses and Aaron are elders themselves. Matter of fact, Pharaoh was looking at them. These two 80-year-olds coming up in here telling me what to do. So Moses and Aaron didn't go to the chiefs and the captains and the priests and all these young, you know, guys that's trying to be leaders. He called for how many elders? He said all the elders. Why? Because that's where the leadership of the nation starts. The elders set the example. So we've lost that in the protocols that have been broken down with the Willie syndrome, because they set the young against the old against the young, and the man against the woman, and woman against the man, the light against the dark, et cetera, et cetera. So these protocols that we should have in place, where we respect elders and call on the elders first, and you see it in Eastern culture. If you go to China, they respect the elders. They go to the elders for wisdom and counsel, and that's the Eastern way. Here in America, they don't respect the elders. They push them in old folks' home, shoot them up with medication, and leave them in a bed to get bed sores. So our culture is totally different. Elders were called upon first and foremost when anything had to be done.
Exactly. Hey, you didn't hear them young fellas grumbling and mumbling. They knew the rules. And Mose summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go, pick out lambs for your families and slaughter the Passover of, as Cartrell said, the male heads of the family. And pick out the lambs for your family and slaughter the Passover offering. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and apply some of that blood that is in the basin to the lintel, the top, and to the two doorposts. None of you shall go outside the house of his house until morning. Once you've done that.
So who's setting the trend?
The OGs. They are.
And what the people going to say? What the elders doing?
But here's
the elders going. Elders going to explain to them what they're doing, and everybody else is going to follow, right?
Exactly. Because Moses didn't have time to try to explain to everybody. That's why he called the ones that supposed to be in charge. The elders supposed to be in charge of your families. That's what we're getting at. He didn't have time for all that. And that's what you need to learn. Our nation is built on elders. The prince, the princes, the king, and the priest. You get one of them out of place, you got problems. You got real big problems. Cartier, you got any commentary on that, brother?
Just the fact that the elders are setting the example and the people are going to follow because the elders get the word of the Most High first. The Most High is telling the elders what to do, and he's giving the message to the elders so that the people will follow them.
That's where it's supposed to be, Cartier.
Yes.
Even now. It's supposed to be.
Yes. All right. But young folks don't listen to elders. They think we're too old. We stuck on the Old Testament. We stuck on the past.
Hey, well, I guess they got all the answers. They're busy killing one another and talking about, you know, we used to have songs back in the day saying, I love you. I want to be with you, my darling. They got, you want to have sex? Come on, man. You see, I'm getting that Cartrell. I ain't got nothing. Want to have sex? We had a song, Cartrell. I take care of you to the end of my days. I'll love you forevermore. Now they got, hey, I ain't got nothing for you. I got some sex for you. Come on, man. Stop it. See what I'm saying, Cartrell?
Yeah, there used to be some discipline in the music. Like, take your time, young man. Don't you rush to get old.
Right.
And you can't hurry love. No, you just got to wait.
Yeah.
Those proverbs in the form of songs helped us, you know, with the counsel that our parents have given us. Even in the music that our people sang to us with songs of merit, discipline, love, respect, relationships. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
Right.
Sometimes you walk away with a broken heart. Sometimes you try to find a way to mend a broken heart.
I agree. You used to say, how can you mend a broken heart? How can a loser ever win? How can you stop this old heart from breaking? Hey, look here. I had a lot of them heartbreaks, Country.
And how about family affair, family reunion? It's all about the family. Harvest for the World, when is going to be a harvest for the world.
Yeah,
all of the really spiritual songs that deal with human nature, human character, much like our ancient fathers did in the Proverbs and Psalms.
It ain't like that no more, Katya. Let's have sex. I want you and your best friend, too. And throw in the dog.
We wandered into Sodom and Gomorrah in the area.
Hey, Leah, and your brother looking mighty nice to me, too. That's how they doing in that country. You know, come on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue on. And he says, okay. Go pick up. Okay, yeah. Hit the hips up in the basin, to the lintels, and to the doorpost. None of you shall go outside of the door of his house until morning.
Simple instruction.
Simple instructions. When the Elohim... And when the Elohim goes through to smite the Mizrenites, he will see blood on the lintel and on the doorposts. And the Elohim will pass over, that's why it's called Passover, in the door and not let the destroyer, the headbusters, enter and smite your home. You should observe this institution for all time, for you and for your descendants. And when you enter the land that the Elohim would give you as promised, you shall observe this rite. Did I miss anything, Katria?
Maybe one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Why do you think he told him to put blood on the door, folks? He already told you.
Yep. Because of
to
the fact.
To make a difference between
right,
the Egyptians and the Israelites.
Because they look similar. He's a
there
similar
you go.
Man. And but you know, here's the point I was emphasizing. I was double underlining. And he said, he had promised, you shall observe this right where?
In the land.
Okay. That's what I was getting at, Cartrell.
That's
and
true.
When,
that's important because you just can't do this everywhere.
That's the point I'm getting.
You want to do it.
That's right. The point of getting at. And when your children ask you, what do you mean by this right? You should tell them, you should say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Elohim because he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Mizraim when he smote the Mizraimites and saved our houses. The people bowed low in homage and the Israelites went and did just as the Elohim had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. They followed it to the letter.
So
in the middle of
it was a test for the Israelites too. Because there was 10 plagues, right? This is the 10th one.
Right.
And the first one, they upset with Moses. They mumbling and grumbling. By the time they got to the 10th one, there was no debate. Right? He said all of them. Huh?
They pretty well learned their lesson, learned to follow the Most High through Moses and Aaron and follow instructions. After the 10th plague, they pretty well learned.
You mean the 9th plague, because this is the 10th.
Yeah,
now you got to follow instructions. Because if you don't put the blood in your door, if you come out your house, guess what?
You dead Israelites walking, okay?
They wasn't going to test those waters, were they?
Exactly.
So it said all of them did it.
Exactly. So in the middle of the night,
So in the middle of the night,
the Elohim struck down all the firstborn in the land of Mizraim, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the captives who were in the dungeon, even the people that were captives in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh arose in the night with all his couriers and with all the Mizraimites, because there was a loud cry in Mizraim, for there was no house where there was not someone dead.
Wow.
He then, right then there, he summoned Moses and Aaron in the night and said, up, depart from among my people, you and the Israelites with you. Go, worship the Elohim as you say it. Take also your flocks, your herds as you say it, and be gone. And may you bring a blessing upon me, because he was expecting for them to come back. That one had going. The Mizraimites urged the people. Right. Go ahead, Carter.
He got up when? By night. And said, get up and get out from among my people. That's why the Most High told him, keep your belt on, gird your loins, keep your shoes on, keep your staff in your hand. The Most High knew what was coming.
Yeah, be ready to move. Be ready to move.
Because Pharaoh about to kick y'all out in haste.
In the middle of the night. The Mizraimites urged the people on. They were impatient to have them leave the country, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, as they were told to, and kneaded their bowls and their kneading bowls wrapped in their cloths upon their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites had done Moses' bidding and borrowed from the Egyptians objects of silver and gold and clothing. The Elohim disposed the Mizraimites favorably toward the people, and they let them have their request. Thus they stripped the Mizraimites. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from the children. Moreover, a mixed multitude also went with them, with very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough that they had taken out of Mizraim, for it was not leavened, since they had been driven out by the Mizraim. and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provision for themselves. The length of time that the Israelites lived in Mizraim was 430 years, and that was not in total captivity all that time. At the end of the 430th year, to the very day, all the ranks of the Elohim departed from the land of Mizraim. That was for the Elohim a night of vigil to bring them out. The Most High watched to bring them out of the land of Mizraim. He watched out for them. That same night, the Elohim is the Elohim's one vigil for all the children of Israel throughout the age. He looked out for them as they were departing.
So,
the Elohim, yeah, go ahead, country.
When you see the movie The Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
what time of the day did they leave?
It was daytime.
Nope.
Was it
not
night?
In reality. In the movie,
well, okay.
It was daytime.
In that movie,
yeah.
You asked me the question in accordance to that movie. They left
yes.
in the movie in the daytime.
That's right.
But the truth of
were
the matter
accurate?
Is, right, that's not accurate. Nothing about that movie is accurate. Very little about that movie is accurate. Even the hero of the people that were perpetrating to be the Israelites is not accurate.
So imagine leaving at night, in the middle of the night, you ain't even finished cooking your bread.
Mm-mm.
They're forcing you out in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
And you didn't prepare no food, no nothing. You just up and go.
Mm-hmm. You got to get out of here. Hey, Godfrey.
I don't know where you're going.
Y'all going, but y'all got to get out of here.
Now, he said y'all finna. He said y'all finna get out of here.
Y'all finna get out of here. I don't know where y'all going. But y'all don't even try to cook your dinner. Y'all get on out of here.
Amazing.
Amazing.
So he's trying to pay them back for them 3 nights of darkness. Y'all can't wait. Nah, the sun ain't coming up.
Exactly.
Them firstborn started dying. People started crying. He's like, no, y'all got to get up and get out of here
right.
now.
You don't even wait till light time. Get out of here.
Yep.
All right. And the Elohim said to Moses and Aaron, this is the law of the Passover offering. No foreigner shall eat of it. But
how can you do that if you're not
right.
in your own land?
Right. Shall eat of it. But any slave man has bought may eat it. Of it once he has been circumcised. No bound or hired labor shall eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house, nor shall you break a bone of it. You can't even break the bones. The whole community of Israel shall offer it. Every stranger who dwells with you would offer the Passover to the Elohim. All of his males must be circumcised, if they are of a different nation. Then he shall be admitted to offer it. He shall then be as a citizen of the country. But no uncircumcised person may eat of it. There should be one law for the citizen and for the stranger who dwells among you, different nations. All the Israelites did so as the Elohim commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. The very day the Elohim freed the Israelites from the land of Mizraim by troop, tribe by tribe. Well, we're going to end right there. Katria, you have any commentaries on that, my brother?
The last part emphasized the fact that we had to be in our land, and
right.
when strangers dwelt in our land, if they wanted to participate in the Passover, they had to be circumcised first. If
exactly.
they were circumcised first, he shall be treated like a citizen of the country. That's what it says, right?
Exactly. You can't
so
mistreat.
You can't be doing this anywhere and everywhere.
Right.
You don't know whether these people are circumcised. You don't know. You have no control.
Exactly.
One law shall be for the native born or the citizen and for the stranger who dwells among you. We strangers in a strange land.
Exactly.
How they treating us. Not like native born. Not like citizen. That's for sure.
Truth be told, brother.
we're fighting for that now with Black Lives Matter, but they're not treating us like citizens.
No,
they're treating us like real strangers. See, in our land, we don't treat strangers like strangers. We treat them like they're native born.
We don't mistreat them, abuse them, and not dominate them, and sometimes kill them. We treat them right. But you don't both mistreat folk.
Most as long as they follow the rules that we follow, they're good.
Right. Exactly. Unlike, as Cartrell alluded to, we're being treated and following their gods. Okay, let's go to the 41st chapter of Job. We got this chapter and one more. It's going to come to the conclusion of Job. The Most High is still talking to Job. Get him straight.
He left out 14 in Genesis. I mean, Exodus, Shemot.
No. We're going to start on, we're going to start on Exodus. Thursday. I just said I'm going to 13. I'm going to 12. We did 13 yesterday, so we'll start at 14, like we're doing until we double up when we get through with Job. We'll double up chapters. Yeah, we'll double up chapter when we get through with Job. All right. May the Most High bless you. Open your books to the 41st chapter. Yah is still talking to Job. He's breaking it down to him like he's 4 years old. And Job is all ears, too. Unlike some of us. Humble, shutting your mouth and listening. Okay. And once you've learned what you know, you can't get away from it. Either you don't do it or you do it. But you can't get away from it. And Yah says to Job, can you draw out the Leviathan with a hook? A snare his tongue with a line, which you lowered. Can you put a reed through his nose? There was some bigger, I'm going to tell y'all this. There was some bigger creatures in the sea than what you're seeing now, than the whale and the great white. There were bigger things than that in there. You just seen a fragment of what was in there then, the big octopus. There were bigger things than that then when he's talking to Job. And even that being said, Job could even take on a great white or a blue whale, humpback whale. He said, you couldn't fashion a hook to catch it. Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Would he make supplication to you, Job? Will he speak softly to you, Job? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever, Job? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you lease him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet for him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again if you put your hands on him. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him, Job? No one is so fierce that he would dare stare him up, Job. Who then is able to stand against me, Job? Because I can do all that. Who has preceded me that I should pay him, Job? Everything under the heavens is mine.
The Most High telling mankind that Leviathan, right?
Yep.
Speaks softly to him.
Right.
Makes a covenant with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is a servant of him. Yah plays with Leviathan. He's just a little bird.
Right.
Or he can unleash him. Right.
Like
Jesus, Leviathan.
Right.
The banquet.
Right.
And he said, can mankind really capture him and make him like a banquet? Can you like really fish him and put your harpoons in him and put him on your food table?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you do, you won't remember the battle and you'll never do it again.
It ain't gonna be easy.
Y'all got jokes, don't you?
Moby Dick.
He said, indeed, any hope of overcoming him is a false. It's false.
Mm-hmm.
So, one, not be overwhelmed just at the sight of him. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. He said, who then is able to stand against me? Y'all created him.
Exactly.
He plays with him like he's a toy.
Right.
Who has to pay me that I should pay him?
Right.
Like,
was a, if you
I got to pay somebody to play with Leviathan or make Leviathan speak softly to me. No, I made him. He said, everything under right. heaven is mine.
Well, what he's saying, if you can't deal
kind of
with him.
Right, now.
Right. He said, if you can't deal with him, how do you think you can deal with me?
For real.
And he said, I would not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his grateful proportions.
Mm.
Who can remove his outer coat? No. Who can approach him like a double bridle? You can't even put a bridle on him. You can't approach him with a double bridle. But I can. Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around?
Mm.
His rows of scales are his pride. Tightly as with a seal. One is so near another. No air can come between them. They were skin tight, joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted.
Mm.
His sneezing flashed forth light. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles cold, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is hard as a stone, even as hard as a lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid because of his crashing. They are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does a spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw, bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Slingshots become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of the javelin. His undersides are like sharp parched. I told y'all it was different Leviathans in that long time ago. I'm not talking about the gray whale or the humpback whale. I'm not talking about the great white. It was something in there once upon a time. This thing breathed fire.
Y'all too.
Yo, go ahead, brother.
How you know you're not still in there?
That's true. We don't know, because the Most High got them under control. The Most High said, y'all lay down. Stay out the way. Go deep. Stay out the way. When you see something coming, look like a human being, go somewhere and go on high. Go in the underwater caves. They do what the Most High tell them to do. Okay? He said, I control them. I tell them when to do it, how to do it, and how long to do it. They follow mine unlike y'all do. And contrary is right.
You better not stir them up.
Right. And Quatrell's right. Who's to say they're not still there? And he says, and then, you know, something mighty close to it is like the alligator. Something mighty close, but it don't breathe fire, and its underbelly can be pierced, but its top is hard to pierce. The alligator is someone like that Leviathan. Leviathan. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Carter.
People think fire-breathing dragons are mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But Yah is showing you that he's real. Fire-breathing
right.
dragon.
Right. And he lives underwater. And he ain't
and what they say about the oceans and the waters, they ain't, you know, like 10% of it. They know more about space than they do the ocean.
That's what I'm saying. They're scared to go. There's some place they can't even go. A submarine can't even go some places. Some of those things, those remote things, they can't even go there and crush them. The weight of it will crush them. They go too far down. So, yeah, I would suspect they're still there waiting under the Most High instruction.
Not to mention the Bermuda Triangle they're still trying to figure out.
Exactly. They still hadn't figured that out. And he says about the undersides of sharp parched sheds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ornament. He makes the sea like a pot of ornament. He leaves a shining wake behind him. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On earth, there's nothing like him.
Okay.
Which is made without fear. This thing is made, he has no fear, none whatsoever. He beholds everything, every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. So I said, I got him. But watch out. And you know, we're talking about the earth being some nations being destroyed by fire. Well, you know what they had, don't you? Them fire breeds, they're underwater just waiting, biding their time. And they have no fear, no. You can set up an airplane, you can set up a fighter jet. They have no fear. None whatsoever. All right, Cottrell.
We don't know what kind of creatures the Most High has created. We talk about, we read the book of Ezekiel where he described an angel that had four faces.
Right.
So Leviathan is in a whole category by himself. He said nothing on earth is like Leviathan.
Nothing.
So if you ain't seen something on earth that's in the waters that you ain't never seen before, you ain't seen Leviathan yet.
Exactly.
And we don't want to stir him up, do we?
Yeah, because it has no fear.
No fear.
No fear.
No. Man's weapons can't really touch him. Maybe drop an atom bomb, maybe. I don't know. He probably survived an atom bomb, too.
Just like a cockroach. You heard me, Katya? Just like a cockroach.
Yeah. All right. Y'all created him indestructible. He's indestructible.
And that's what I'm saying. Ain't nothing you got going to destroy it. So, Godrell, that was a nice study session, my brother. And so we're all ears waiting on another study session in the Book of Psalms.
Plenty of them. Tonight going to be the 94th Psalm. All the Psalms are important. To the degree that we have to know our place with the Most High. And our place with the Most High is to always turn to Him in our times of trouble, to make Him our place of refuge. He should be our first refuge. So this psalm is in refuge, in reference to refuge, Yah being our refuge. And He's only a refuge for the righteous. If you're doing wicked acts, you can't run to Yah, not like Christianity. You know, you just do all the wickedness you want and just put your name or believe in the name of somebody that supposedly died on a cross as a sacrifice for you. The Most High in the Old Testament is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He allows the righteous to make Him their refuge. So we're going to read the 94th Psalm. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. O Yah Elohim, to whom vengeance belongs. We know Yah says vengeance is mine. And who is He going to take vengeance on? He's going to take vengeance on the wicked. O Elohim, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Yah, how long will the wicked, How long will the wicked triumph? That's what we see in our lifetime, right? But wicked leaders, and they seem to be doing it with immunity. But Yah is the judge, and He's judging the whole earth. He says, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Yah, and afflict your heritage. To this day, right?
Exactly.
This very verse is current event.
Exactly.
They utter speech and speak insolent things. That means they're arrogant. They challenge the Most High. all the workers of iniquity boast in themselves, right? They never give praise or honor or glory or thanks to the Most High. They wait once a year to give thanksgiving. They ain't even thanking the Most High. They thanking themselves. They break in pieces your people. Are they still breaking us in pieces? That's a daily thing for them. And who are they breaking in pieces? Oh, yeah. They afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger. Why are they slaying the widow? Do they kill our women?
They certainly do. I got no problem with it.
And are we strangers to them? They slay, we strangers to them, so they slaying us, right? We basically in a strange land. We just saw how we supposed to treat a stranger. We supposed to slay them?
No.
And murder the fatherless. Are you supposed to murder the fatherless?
Nope.
These are the most vulnerable people that are being slain right here in America. The widow, we the strangers, and fatherless. Yet they say, this is what they say, Yah does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. So they know who the God of Jacob is. But they think that he doesn't see because he hasn't acted in our behalf as of yet, right? They look
exactly.
Up at God in some kind of scientific collider, particle collider system, the God particle. That's how they're looking for God,
mm-hmm.
through science. But they're trying to say that the Most High God of Jacob don't understand. You don't think the Most High God of Jacob understand what his people's going through, the widow, stranger, the fatherless? How they breaking his people in pieces and boast themselves. You don't think Yah's watching that?
Mm-hmm.
So the message to them is what? Understand, you senseless amongst the people, and you fools. When will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. Yah knows the thoughts of a man. They are all futile. So they don't think Yah's watching. They don't think Yah understands. But guess what? We know that Yah knows everything, right? He made the ear. They can't figure that out. He formed the eye. They can't figure that out. And if the nations would listen, he would instruct them, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Because it said, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Yah, and teach out of your law. So that's for all nations. Not
mm-hmm.
just Israel, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. See, a day is coming for wicked. The pit is dug for them. And this is the spiritual pit. He ain't talking about the dirt on the ground. For Yah will not cast off his people, praise Yah. That's our hope. That's our everlasting hope through all our trials and tribulations that we're going through now. Yah says he will not cast us off, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Who's his inheritance?
Us.
And if you have an inheritance, what you going to do for your inheritance?
You're going to look out for it.
Are you just going to put it away and not pay attention to it?
No, you can't do it like that.
If it's away from you, you're not going to try to get it?
Mm-hmm.
So if we are Yah's inheritance, trust me, just like you want to receive your inheritance, if we are Yah's inheritance, he wants to receive his inheritance, right? Because that's
mm-hmm.
how he's describing it. He said he's not
right.
going to forsake us. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. So Yah's going to straighten things out. And this is how he said he's going to straighten it out. He didn't say he's going to sacrifice his son to take all the sins of the world in order to correct the world and bring it back to what it's supposed to be and take everybody to heaven. No, Yah said he's going to judge the earth, judge the nation. He says he's not going to cast his people off forever. He's not going to forsake his inheritance, but he's going to bring judgment and return righteousness to the righteous. And all the upright in heart will follow it. So you may not have known the ways of Yah, but if your heart is right, you have a chance. Who will rise up for me against evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's our job, right? You got to rise up against evildoers. We got to stand up against workers of iniquity, right?
Exactly.
You might get shot down. You might get sawed in half in a tree. They might put you in a yoke. They might throw you in a fiery furnace. They might cast you into a lion's den, right?
Exactly.
But you got to rise up against evildoers and stand up against the workers of iniquity. And guess what? While you're doing that, Yah said, unless Yah had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence, so meaning that he would be dead if Yah wasn't his help, while he stood up against evildoers and workers of iniquity. So you got to know, while you're doing his job, Yah is with you the whole time. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, oh Yah, will uphold me. So anytime you have trouble, even if your foot slips, guess what? Yah is there to catch you. That's the kind of faith you have to have in the Most High. You got to call on him first. Then calling his friends when his foot slips. He calls on Yah's mercy when your foot slips, right?
Exactly.
In the multitude of my anxieties within me, comforts delight my soul. So how many anxieties are out there right now, Yah Sufari? It's a multitude of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you trust in Yah, like our ancient fathers did, your soul should be comforted and delighted right at this time, right? While everybody else's soul is in the midst of multitudes of anxiety. If they don't trust in Yah, they're going to have these anxieties, right?
Exactly.
The question is, shall a throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? So people that are wicked and evil and devise evil by law, you think they're going to have fellowship with Yah?
No.
Because Yah judges the wicked. Because how many organizations in the world today fit into this category? The throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law. That's America. That's Russia. That's the Vatican. That's all these religious institutions that worship idols, right?
Exactly.
And the question is, will they have fellowship with Yah? Because that's what they always talk about, right? Fellowship. Peace on earth, right?
Exactly.
They gathered against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. That's what they're doing to us. But Yah has been my defense. Is Yah your defense? And my Elohim, the rock of my refuge. Yah should be your rock of refuge and the first line of your defense. And if you have Yah as your first line of defense and your first line of refuge, you don't have to worry about the plague that he puts upon the people. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yah, our Elohim, shall cut them off. How comforting is that? It's not comforting if you're wicked and you're practicing evil and doing iniquity, but it's comforting if you follow in the path of righteousness and seeking Yah and making Yah your defense and your refuge. When you do that, then you know that Yah is cutting off the wicked. And there's a time for them when they're going to see the pit. So, shouldn't have much anxiety. Your soul should be comforted and delighted in the Most High. And if it's not, you should read these Psalms over and over again until you get it. Because it ain't me. I got it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it. I ain't letting it go. I'm trying to share it.
I have to concur with you, Godriel.
Yes, sir.
Well, Godriel, all good things, unfortunately, has got to come to an end when it's man-made. But
glad you said that.
Yeah, when it's man-made. But
all good things don't come to an end. All good things are everlasting.
Exactly. That's why I made a notation, when it's man-made. But, Gabriel, you have any closing remarks, my brother and friend?
My prayers for my people, that we get back in that vibe that our ancient fathers were in when they were seeking Yah and making Yah their refuge and their first line of defense. And a lot of our problems will be solved because Yah loves us, and we have to return that love to him. We have to ask him for our forgiveness. There used to be a record. I'm trying to blow it a little bit. It went like this. Oh, please return your love to me, girl. Forgive me for the wrong I've done. Without your love, I'm just no good. I am just a lonely one.
I'm a lonely man.
I know you remember that one.
You think I knew that, bitch?
So we asking Yah, please return his love to us and forgive us for the wrong we've done, because without his love, we ain't no good. And we just out here like fish out of water. So we asking Yah to bless us with the fountain of living waters, that we may live, that we may flourish, we may thrive, in order to give him praise, honor, and glory, of which he is fully deserving of, beyond what we could ever praise him for. So with all my heart, soul, and might, I give thanks to our Father, our King, Yahweh Zevaot, and I ask him to continue to bless all those that are out there that have ears to hear and a heart to fear. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Contrails had a mouth full, so there's not much I can say to come behind on that. I would just like to praise Yah, God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. I'd like to pray for our nation during this plague and other nations. I'd like the Most High to direct and order our steps and help us not lean to our own understanding. That's why these studies are urgent. They are needed. And they should be applied, because therein lies your solutions. Well, we don't know where you're going. We're just going to get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People, Intense Investigatory Archaeology Study Show. And I want to thank Kyle Trail, my brother and friend from New York City. I want to thank you listeners for tuning in and doing this study session with us. May the Most High bless you. We'd love to see you back tomorrow, if the Most High is willing. Get you a new thinker, too, okay? Because our thinkers are broken. Let's be honest about that. I'm not trying to be humorous, but our thinkers are broken. Get your new thinker. We love you, and shalom.